Father Confessor, I have sinned. I have sinned many times in my life. Yes, I have atoned for much in my service to the Emperor. I have slain the heretic, burned the witch, destroyed the alien. Time and again I have shown my mettle in blood and fire, but my fervor comes not from faith alone. It comes from fear. For I have sinned in my time, and his divine grace shall find me wanting. This I know. I was but a child when I lost my innocence. As with most of my order, I was raised in the Scola, my parents having been martyred during the insurrection at Coronia when I was an infant. The Holy Fathers raised me well. They raised us all well. But we were young and we were foolish. There were four of us that were inseparable. Carlene, my dearest friend, and the boys Macarius and Rabot. We were in the same class, arrived at the Scola on the same day. For 10 years we shared classes, drilled together, ate together, shared everything. But then we were assigned. I was 13, the others around the same age. Macarius, Mac, was to join the commissariat. Rabot, little Rob, was to be a pilot. Carlene and I were both to be sisters, to join the Adepta Sororitas. But where I was to be a battle sister, my dearest Carlene, sweet, brilliant Carlene, was to be a Dialogus. That night, we met in a little alcove we had found, a place hidden from the proctor's eyes. We knew we would see each other again, here and there, but we'd never truly be together. The Imperium had need, and we would be trained separately for all the needs it had of us. Carlene wept, just a little, while we sat and talked. I hated to see her cry. Ever since we were little, her tears would hurt me. I lost count of the times she crept into my cot, cooing for her mother and father. I would hold her, try to stem the tide of tears. This night it was Mac who consoled her. Commissars are trained to keep up morale, and I must admit he had the knack for it. He decided to distract her. He produced a bottle. He called it a kissing game and showed us how it worked. We sat in a circle and he gave the bottle a twirl. The tip pointed at Carlene. The way she blushed made my heart skip. And I was surprised at the thrill of anger I felt when Mac leaned forward and gave her a peck on the lips. It was then I first realized there was something wrong with me. I was so wrapped up in my realization that I wanted to be the one kissing Carlene that I hardly noticed her take a spin at the bottle. Her face was flushed, and she gave me a little grin as she spanned the glass. I'd never seen her like that before. She was really enjoying it. The bottle landed on Mac, and this time she was the one to initiate the kiss. Rob was grinning like a bastard, and I was bawling my fist so hard I thought my nails would break skin. Just as I was starting to think he had rigged the bottle somehow, he took his next turn. It was pointing at Rob. The two shared this look that, oh, I can't even describe it. Carlene and I giggled like schoolgirls and told them they had to do it, or else we'd leave. After a quick kiss, on the lips, no less, they each spat and rubbed at their mouths. Tears were streaming down my face, and I tried and failed to keep my laughing quiet. Rob, pouting, spun the bottle as hard as he could. It clacked and clicked as it spun, taking a long time to stop. It was pointing at me. Rob grinned a wicked grin and leaned over. I hesitated a bit, and he grabbed my head to pull me close. Before I could react, his lips were on mine, and I broke away just as his slippery little tongue grazed across mine. I slapped him, the sound echoing in the tiny room. This time, Mac and Carlene had the giggles. I looked at Carlene, the flush of her cheeks, the light in her smiling eyes. I must have blushed because Rob started to laugh too. I delicately fingered the bottle and spun it. It was a weak spin, but I had planned it to be. It went around just once, then landed on Carlene. The room went silent, and Carlene's eyes grew as wide as her face was red. I was slow to move, hesitant, even though my plan had worked, so she came to me. Easing over, she gently touched her lips to mine, holding them there for several seconds. I could taste her, we were so close. The warmth of her was such that I could imagine the beating of her heart. Or perhaps it was just mine pumping in my ears. She started to pull away and, well, I lost myself. My hand was behind her head and I was pulling her towards me. My tongue slid past her teeth and explored her mouth, slicking against hers. In the heat of it all, I'd pushed her down, my leg between hers and pressing against her groin. As I held her in place, my other hand slid down her back, never stopping for a second. She struggled a little, but I was always the stronger, and it only took her a moment to give up. I like to think her tongue started to press back against mine. It was moving enough, but I fear it was simply trying to escape. Well, when I finally came to my senses and pulled away, a little trail of saliva still connected my lips to hers. I glanced at the boys, who stared at us wide-eyed. Below me, Carlene was panting with a dazed look in her eye. I heard a cough then, and we all looked up. Abbot Crane, head ecclesiarch at the Scola, was standing behind Robin Mack. How we missed him, I do not know, but the look on his face told me I was in deep shit.